Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen Arms Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, I am excited on today because today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Truly, I am excited on today and excited for you on today and all of my listeners from all around the world and those that are here in the States. I am excited for you on today because God has a tremendous blessing through his word on today. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that today you're going to be tremendously blessed. And so again, I just welcome you and I'm excited that you have joined me on today. On today, our lesson is going to be Jesus Christ, our substitute. And we're going to be looking out of the Bible from Isaiah chapter number 53. So why don't you grab your Bible, get your Bible, and we're going to take a look at the word of the Lord on today. Again, we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, our substitute. And let's take a moment and pray for our listeners on today and for those that will be joining or listening to the cast a later time. Gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, saying, Lord, we thank you, O God, for this opportunity to come to speak a word to your people. We ask, O God, that your sovereign will be done and that you will speak forth a word and that thy holy and sacred will be done and accomplished. And, O God, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. And, Father, we thank you because you are that righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we are excited about what you're going to do. Let your word have pre-course, God, and let it have preeminence, Lord, and let it exact that which is due to the heart of thy people. And, oh, God, we'll praise your blessed name, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. On today, as we look, let's look at Isaiah chapter number 53 is where our text is going to be taken from on today. And it reads on this line, "Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of men, of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was made his grave with the wicked and with the rich, in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bear the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. So far, the reading of the scripture, which was Isaiah chapter number 53, verses 1 through verse number 12. Our key verse is going to be coming out of, and we're going to be looking at, is Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And so today our thought is going to be Jesus Christ, our substitute and sinless sacrifice, took responsibility for our sins and received the just punishment we deserve. Now, let's take a look here at our word on today. When we look here, we find that the Old Testament presents the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ in the picture, in prophecy, while the New Testament clearly revealed and explained it. However, the message is the same. Throughout the Holy Scriptures, God designed in every commandment and ceremony of the law proclaim one message to the falling offspring of Adam, the hope of future redeemers. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Romans 5 and 6 state, for we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Next, 1 John 3:16 states, whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now Jesus, who was God in human flesh, took upon himself the sins of the world, and as a substitute, he endured the full penalty of God's law against sin. As a representative and a substitute, he satisfied every claim of divine justice against all mankind. Now let's take a look here. Hebrews 9 and 12 states, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. Now, when we look at the dictionary, we find that the word substitute, it actually means a person or a thing serving or used in place of another. Another definition means used in the place of another. And so here, when we look in terms and thinking in terms that Jesus Christ was our substitute, he took our place. He paid the penalty for every one of the sins and iniquity of this world. He paid that ultimate price. Now let's take a look further into the word of the Lord. It said, let's look at the principle of the substitution. Number one, Adam, the first coat. Adam and Eve covered themselves with a fig leaf because they felt shame and guilt for disobeying God's commandment. However, their effort to cover themselves was insignificant to hide them from God's presence. God then gave them another kind of covering. And you can see this over in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 21. Through the story, God was laying the foundation of the real penalty of sin. Sin caused death and required the shedding of innocent blood to establish atonement. God clearly had told Adam and Eve that they would die if they sin against him. They did not die immediately, at least not physically, though they did suffer immediate spiritual separation from God and the future judgment of physical death. They needed a substitute to die in their place and to pay the penalty for disobedience. Therefore, to reveal his future plan of redemption, God took the lives of two animals and covered Adam and Eve with the skin of those animals. Adam and Eve deserved death, but another died in their place. However, this animal substitute was only temporarily, because Adam and Eve, evidently, they did die. Now, moreover, the shedding of animal blood could not redeem them. It only put off judgment of their sin. Now, let's look further. Let's look at Isaiah's scapegoat. The spiritual principle of the scapegoat provides the basis of the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, which prefigures through types and shadows the New Testament plan of redemption. The people of the Old Testament survived only because of innocent animals that died in their place, shedding guiltless blood. Now let's look at the scripture over in Leviticus chapter number 16 and 10. It states, "And the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be the present alive before God, presented alive before God, to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." Now, let's look further into the word of the Lord here. It said, on the day of atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice for the sins of his people and for the people of Israel. For the two goats placed before him, he would choose one as sin offering and sprinkle his blood to cleanse the altar, the sanctuary, and the tent of meeting from defilement. The priest would then lay his hand on the second goat's head and transfer the sins of the people to the animal. Someone would then lead the goat away into the wilderness, which pictured the removal of the people's sins. Now, Noah was perhaps the most righteous person of his day. God spared him from death by the flood. However, Noah knew that he was not perfect and that he deserved to die just as the rest of the world. Thus, the first thing he did after exiting the ark was to offer a sacrifice to God, a substitute to take his place. Now, the problem with the Old Testament sacrificial system was that there was no end to the sacrificing of animals. The death of the innocent animal could never take change to people. God knew that the only one thing would suffice to atone for sin, and he had planned the ultimate sacrifice before creation itself. One sacrifice for all people of all time. The temporary sacrificial system of the Old Covenant pointed to the future, giving Israel a picture of the Messiah coming to die in their place. The fulfillment of that picture appeared in some of the first word of the New Testament when God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23 states, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, years later, John the Baptist introduced Jesus. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John 1 and 29. Now let's take a look here at of that proclamation and the announcement here and see what John said. John actually said, behold the Lamb of God, depicting that this here was from God. Jesus was from God. And not only that, he stated also in his announcement that which taketh away the sins of the world. So here two vital things that was taking place and spoken, that this was the Lamb of God, Jesus was the Lamb of God. Number two, that which would take away the sins of the world. So here it's key for us to recognize that what John the Baptist did, he proclaimed that and announced that the Lamb of God, that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Because we live in days and time now where that many people want to keep Jesus just as a brother or as a prophet. But here John the Baptist proclaimed, this is the Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God, which will take away the sins of the world. And that's key, children of God, because you don't want to allow yourself to get caught up in the philosophy of man of saying that Jesus was just the Son, or he was just a prophet, or he's a brother. No, he was the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. That's key. More than just a good man or a moral teacher, Jesus' role went beyond that of a prophet or a religious leader. Indeed, he was God manifested in the flesh as the perfect man. He was to atone for the sin that Adam had brought into the world. In dying, he would identify with the sins of the entire human race and take our place to atone for our sin. And that's very key, children of God, of the gospel. When we talk in terms about the death, burial, and the resurrection, it's key for us to recognize that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. Yes, he was a teacher. Yes, he was a prophet. Yes, he was a son. But his purpose was to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Now, let's look at Barnabas' only hope. Now, the murderer and the rebel, Barnabas, lay chained in dark prison awaiting certain execution. The authority has already passed judgment, and now they were about to carry out the sentence. He possessed only a glimmer of hope, although only a slight one because of Barnabas' unpopularity. Every year during the Passover feast, the Roman leaders would allow the release of one prisoner as a favor to the people. Now, John 18, verses 39 to verse 40 states, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Again, you find that over in John, chapter 18, verses 39 and 40. Because of the mob's cry and the authority released Barabbas, then ensuing crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ substituted for that of the murderer and for the insurrectionist. Indeed, Jesus became the substitute not only for Barabbas that day, but also for all mankind. Now, let's go on further and look a little deeper. Now, the person of substitution. Jesus was a man. The blood of goats and bullocks could not roll away the judgment for sin for the space of the year, but they could ever completely remit it. The substitute would pay the penalty for the sin of humanity had to be a human being. The writer of Hebrews gave the requirement for the supreme substitute in his letters to the Jewish Christians. And let's look at that. And we'll find that over in Hebrews chapter number 2, verses number 14 through verse number 18. and it reads on this line. For as much then as the children are partaker of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things he behold him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he was able to succor them that are tempted. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter number 2, verses number 14 through verse number 18. An angel, an animal, or some other creation could substitute for one of its own kind, but a real human was necessary for becoming the substitute for mankind. Because God is a spirit, and the spirit have not flesh and blood, bone. God could not die or shed blood. See John 4 and 24, Luke 24 and 39. Therefore, God took on an authentic human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ to become our substitutionary sacrifice. See 1 Timothy 3, verse number 16. Now, let's look further. Jesus was identified with mankind. Not only was Jesus human, but he also identified with mankind's plight. The writer of Hebrews declared, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews 4:15. In his humanity, Jesus Christ experienced the full panorama of human trials and temptation, but was victorious over them all, which is so key for us to recognize, children of God, that he was victorious over all of them, over everything. He maintained and had the victory. And so it is with us, children of God, through the shed blood, through the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done, we have the victory. You have total victory over sin, death, and iniquity. And we as children of God, we must recognize that and recognize that which what Jesus Christ had done for us. It was not a life thing, what he had done for us in our life and things, but he became the ultimate sacrifice of our sin. And there are philosophies out there that wants to discount the work of Calvary. And we as children of God, we must buy the truth and sell it not. That's what the word of the Lord says. Now let's look at the person of substitution. Jesus was a man. The blood of goats could not take away that judgment of sin as we spoken about it earlier. Now let's look a little further. Jesus was identified with mankind and that how he was victorious over all of the sins and all of the trials that came up against him. Now Jesus was separated from mankind. Although Jesus Christ identified with mankind, he was indeed separate. And you can see that over in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 and verse 27. Also 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 22. He was a man, but he also was separated from mankind in that he did not sin. Just like the Passover lamb of the Old Testament, he had no spot or blemish on his life. Now, we're looking, and the Holy Spirit is just dropped in my spirit, is that we're living in a time where that men will be lover of themselves more than a lover of the things of God or of God. And we find that even sometimes that trying to creep into the house of God. And even as Jesus Christ had an order in the Old Testament was a type and shadow of the things to come when the fulfillment of the true manifestation of God's will would be revealed through his son, Jesus Christ. So it is, children of God. God has an order for the house of God. And we must recognize our flesh, hear me, children of God, our own very flesh will stand against the order of God. And that's why we must crucify our flesh daily and things so it can come into the order of God. Now, what are you saying, crucifying your flesh, Pastor Orm? What I mean is that we must sometimes deny, mortify the deeds of the flesh and things, because the flesh will have us to do anything and disannul the order of God. Differentiation, that's what we hear a lot of in these times, these post-modernity times, about differentiation and being different or being your own individual and things and have your own style, et cetera, and things. But God still yet have an order for his house, an order for his people, order for his things. And so we must stop and take a moment and look at ourselves and see, are we being led by the Spirit of the Lord? Or are we being led by our flesh and want to be able to say that this is the Spirit of the Lord and not taking the order of the house that God has already established? And so we as children of God, we must daily mortify the deeds of our flesh, lest we be walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit and succumbing to the philosophy of men and of the philosophy of this time. And so it's key for us, children of God, to adhere to the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and that he's a holy God. He's a righteous God, and he's expecting us to live holy and righteous as well. And he have an order for his house, so we cannot just do any kind of service. But there is an order how God wants, and we must walk softly before the Lord our God and adhere to his order. So even though it was the order in the Old Testament, there is one for the new. Now let's look at the word, Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 23 through verse 27. It said, and truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, have an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinner, and made higher than the heaven, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first his own sin, then for the sin, the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews 7, verse 23 through verse number 27. Now look, now let's go back to, again, the point that we spoke about earlier in reference of how people who are grappling with Jesus and want to keep him at the realm of a brother, or even at the realm of a prophet or a teacher. Now look, the scripture clearly states that he is have an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able, now look at here, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, look here. Here it is. The scripture is depicting that how Jesus Christ is our high priest that has set higher than the heaven, and that he is a high priest became unto us who is holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he was separated from sinner and made higher than the heaven, and who need not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice. And so here he's saying, the scripture depicts and let us know that he is our high priest that is there in heaven, that is making intercession on our behalf. Now, when we begin to look at the philosophy of man and begin to look at all of the other thoughts that are out there, that they are not in heaven making intercession. They are not the high priest in heaven. They have not been made higher than the heaven. They have not made atonement for the sins of the world. They are not the Lamb of God. So when we begin to look at the Word of God and begin to examine the Word of God and look closely into the Word of the Lord, we clearly understand and we can clearly see that the Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he is a high priest. He is God manifested in the flesh. Come on and shout, hallelujah, glory, shatoroboshekha. Be unto the Lord our God. Now, let us look further. The process of the substitution. Jesus became sin for us. Martin Luther wrote, all the prophets did foresee in the spirit that Christ should become the greatest transgressor and murderer, adulterer, thief, rebel, blasphemer that ever was or could in all the world. For he being made a sacrifice of the sin of the whole world is not now an innocent person and without sin, but a sinner. Of course, he was referring to the inputting of our wrongdoing to Christ as our sacrifice and substitute. Luther continued, by this means the whole world is purged and cleansed from all sin. And you'll find that in the book, Your Father Loves You. Now, let's look. Paul declared to the Corinthians, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Indeed, Jesus Christ literally became sin on our behalf. Some expositors explained that the word used here must mean sin offering. Thus, it would read, he made himself to be a sin offering from us. Translators sometimes translate the Greek word for sin used in this passage as sin offering. However, one should look at the full content of this verse. If it means sin offering in this instance, then it would necessitate our translating the phrase, he have made himself to be a sin offering for us who knew no sin offering. Obviously, that would be an incorrect statement, for Jesus literally became sin for us rather than merely providing an offering for our sin. Now, I want to say that again because that's key for you to know that. That Jesus literally became sin for us rather than merely providing an offering for sin. In that sense, he could have provided an offering other than himself, yet he offered his own body and blood as the sacrifice for sin. And that's the difference. And we must hold to the truth and sell it not. Now, Jesus offered one sacrifice. Contrary to Old Testament sacrifices, the reputation of Jesus' sacrificial offering was unnecessary. His death and sacrificial offering was the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and shadow, and there is no need for another. His sacrifice was enough for all people and for all time. We find that over in the scripture when it reads, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now the key is for those that look for him. Everybody is not looking for him. But those that look for him shall he appear unto them without sin unto salvation. Now, let's look at Hebrews 10:11-12. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which he can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 12. He sat down, child of God, at the right hand of God. That is so profound. Let's look further. Jesus received our punishment. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would receive our punishment. See Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. His stripes, bruising, and chastisement were all for our benefit and good. The sentence of punishment and death was upon us as part of human race, but he bore it in all his body. Indeed, he carried our sins to the cross and left them there through his substitutionary death. Now, the personalization of the substitution, and let's take a look at that as we get ready to conclude here and things so that we can see all that Jesus Christ has did and things. And I pray that God will open up the eyes of his people and those that have been deceived and those that do not know, that God will open up your understanding, child of God, about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection for us that we may live. Let's look further. Romans 6, verse number 23 say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse number 23. The Bible declares that people do wrong things, not because they have a psychological illness, but because they are sinful. Their actions are the result of the sin that dwells deeply within their heart. Our problem is not so much our emotional damage as it is that we have lived away from God and sinned against him. The Bible proclaims, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18 and 20. Isaiah the prophet penned these words, but your iniquity has separated between you and God, and your sin had hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59 and 2. The fact is that we deserve death. Justifying our behavior and explaining it away or pretending that we cannot help what we do will never remove our sin. Sin is serious because it separates us from God now as well as eternally. Moreover, it will destroy our lives unless someone or something rescue us from its powerful clutches. In desperation, Paul asked, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Romans 7, verse number 21. Now, let me read a story into your hearing for just a moment here. It was May 21st. 1946, the place was Los Alamos. A young man, daring and scientist, was carrying out a necessary experiment in preparation for an atomic test to be conducted in the waters of the South Pacific in Bikini. He had successfully performed such an experiment many times before. In his effort to determine the amount of the U-235 necessary for a chain reaction, the scientists called it a critical mass. He would push two hemispheres of the uranium together. Then, just as the mass became critical, he would push them apart with his screwdriver. This instantly stopped the chain reaction. But that day, just as the material became critical, the screwdriver slipped. The hemisphere of the uranium came too close together. Instantly, the room was filled with a dazzling blemish and haze. The young Lois Slotkin instead of ducking, therefore possibly saving himself, tore the two hemispheres apart with his hand, thus interrupting the chain reaction. By this instant, self-forgetfulness daring, he saved his life of the seven other people in the room. As he waited for the car that was to take him to the hospital, he said quietly to his companion, "You will come through all right, but I haven't the faintest chance myself." It was only too true. 9 days later, he died in agony. 19 centuries ago, the Son of the Living God walked directly into sin. Most consecrated radiation allowed himself to be touched by its curse and let it take his life. By that act, he broke the chain reaction. He broke the power of sin. That was written by George Vanderman, Planet in Rebellion. And so it is. One of the most dramatic stories of the Old Testament in the experience of Abraham when God instructed him to offer up his promised son as a sacrifice. What a terrifying experience for both men as Abraham laid Isaac upon the altar and drew back the knife to take his life. See Genesis 22, 7 through 10. At the final moment before the dagger pierced the son, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham, and a ram showed up in the thicket nearby. However, the prophetic word rang through the ages of time. God is no casual onlooker. He will provide himself as a sacrifice and substitute. Indeed, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's look. The response. There was a need. Now look at the response. Through Jesus Christ, though Jesus Christ did the work, it was necessary that we follow his example through obedience to the gospel. When we confess our sin and submit to his plan of salvation, God forgives us and removes them from us. See 1 John 1 and 9. However, we cannot forgive them unless we are honest about them. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 8. The most beautiful part is that the confession and the repentance prepare us to continue our obedient response to the gospel plan of salvation. The true believer goes on to experience water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at the result of this. The result of our confession, repentance, and water baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost is that we begin a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 1 Corinthians 5 and 17. Jesus has paid our debt, which have released us from the bondage of the past. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we are born again and our life starts anew and afresh all over. And that's key, children of God. Of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. Go over and read John 3, verses 1 through verse number 5. It will tell you when Nicodemus came unto the Lord, and he asked of him, Rabbi, what must I do to be born again? And he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. And so it's important, child of God, that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit and baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin. Now, let's look further at what we have talked about on today. As we look really briefly, we talked about the principle of the substitute, Adam and their first coat. We talked about Isaiah and the scapegoat. We talked about Barnabas, Barabbas, his only hope. Then we went on and we looked a little further and we talked about the person of substitution, that Jesus Christ was a man and Jesus was identified with mankind and Jesus was separated from mankind. Then we looked at further and we began to talk about the process of substitution. Jesus became sin for us, and Jesus offered one sacrifice, and Jesus received our punishment. Then we talked about the personalization of the substitution, the need, Romans told us, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we talked about the response, and we talked about the result. And when we respond to the word of God, and we respond to the plan that Jesus Christ has for us, the result will be the confession, the repentance, and the water baptism in Jesus' name and receiving of the Holy Ghost, and the beginning of a new life. Oh, child of God, is vital. Hear me, child of God. It's key for us as people of God and things to seek out the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and soul. If you don't understand, ask God to open up your understanding. Ask him to give you the revelation, and he will do it. All we need to do is trust him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and watch him. He will do it for us. Now, let's look in conclusion, child of God. Every person that has ever been born since Adam disobeyed God in the garden has come into the world with the curse of sin upon them. Since the Bible teaches that the soul that sinned will die and receive just punishment, every person has the death sentence upon them. Indeed, no one could ever do enough work to put out this verdict of the condemnation. Our only hope was that perfect, sinless substitute would come and take our place. God himself fulfilled the need when he took on human body and became the perfect substitute for sin. Thereby, he released us from the degree of death so we could begin a new life. To avail ourselves of our sacrificial atonement of sin, we must believe the gospel, confess our sin in a genuine repentance, and submit to the water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sin. Then he will fill us with the Holy Ghost and initiate the new life in him. This is the sacrifice that he has provided. And child of God, it is very key and it is very critical that we as children of God understand that Jesus Christ was our sacrifice and made atonement for the sin of the world. John clearly stated, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so we must recognize that again. I want you to hear me, child of God, because there are philosophies and thoughts that are out there that want to keep Jesus Christ as the son or as a brethren or as a prophet and only as a teacher. But I come to tell you and beg the difference, and that you must look back into the Bible again and to the Holy Scripture. He was our high priest. He was the Lamb of God, which was taking away the sins of the world. He became our high priest, who have made the atonement for our sin, who sit on the right hand of God, making intercession on our behalf. He was God manifested in the flesh, who made himself a body, that he would be able to come and make the atonement of our sin. He was that scapegoat. He was the one where all of the sins, all of the iniquity, all of the diseases, even in this world today, was pronounced upon him. They led him out to the hill of Golgotha, or the skull of Mount Calvary, and things with all of the sins upon and pronounced upon him. He died for our sins. The Bible said, Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement, the bruise, our iniquity was placed upon him. And so, child of God, I come to tell you, you cannot buy into that lie or that philosophy, but you must hear and behold that Jesus Christ is God himself, who have made atonement for our iniquity and transgression. Isaiah said, who have believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form or comeliness. And when shall we see him? There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yet he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We are like sheep gone astray. We have turned away everyone his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bade the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. So, child of God, who have bore your sins? It was the Son, Jesus Christ. He was the one who poured out his soul unto death on the behalf of his people. And so I come to say, child of God, hold fast to the truth and buy it not. Sell it not, child of God. Sell it not. Hold fast and sell it not. We must be like the spiritual Israel, passing down the story and testimony and the word of the Lord from generation to generation. Because God, he loves you. Yes, he does, with his everlasting love. He died for our sins and iniquity over 2,000 years ago. Now we have access unto God. Now we can come boldly to the throne room of God, because the veil has been rent over 2,000 years ago. And so now we have access unto God. We can go boldly to the throne room of God, because Jesus Christ has paid the price, who is God manifested in the flesh. I pray that you've been blessed today. I pray that this word has encouraged you and strengthened you and fortified you on today. I pray that you not back up or hold back, but you share your testimony and testify, make known the story, the good news that Jesus Christ still lives and make intercession on behalf, because he sat on the right hand of God, making intercession on your behalf and my behalf. So, child of God, I pray that you've been blessed today through the word of the Lord, through the empowerment on today. I pray that you have been highly blessed and given you greater understanding and revelation of the Son, Jesus Christ, and God manifested in the flesh. Truly, this has been a time of victorious living through the word of God, of empowerment through this biblical lesson and principle. And I pray that you allow the theological implication and contextualizing it for the relevancy of for today's living. It is right. It is relevant. And see, he died for the sins of the world, and it is relevant. And it is for you, as well as for me, and things of the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for all of the iniquity, and he made the perfect and the ultimate sacrifice, that he only made the atonement once. And he took the blood, sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, child of God, Oh, my. It is worth worshiping and praising God for the marvelous work that was done at Calvary. And not only there, even through the resurrection, the death, burial, and the resurrection. So, child of God, I pray that you will be blessed and been empowered by the word, encouraged and strengthened, that you go out and do the work of the Lord. And I want you to believe and go and do the work and the will of the Lord. In my closing, I will always say that if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one blessing and one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Seek, and the word of the Lord says, and you shall find. And so if you don't have a child of God, God got it. All you need to do is go back to him. Fall down on your face. Look up to heaven and ask of him. He will make a way and open the door for you. All you need to do is just trust him. And truly, I pray that you're blessed. Gracious Father, in our conclusion on the day, we ask that you bless, Lord, the radio land, those up under the sound of my voice, God. Father, we come against the spirit of error, God, and deceit, Lord, on this day in the name of Jesus. And we call your revelation to the heart, minds, and souls of your people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your sovereign will be done. And, oh, God, strengthen the body of Christ throughout this world, oh, God. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. Recognize that you and you alone are worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor, Father. And we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor. Now bless we, your people. Strengthen, Lord. Fortify every minister, every prophet, every evangelist, apostle, teacher, bishop. God, in thy name, O God. Lord, we must work while it's day. Night cometh, and no man will be able to work. And, O God, we pray, O God, that to the laborer, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers to the vineyard, God. And, Father, we thank you, O God, and this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We again thank you. May God bless you until we meet again. You can always reach me at our email address. It's at Shekinah, Shekinahaht, at msn.com, or Helen Orr at msn.com. And that's HelenOrme at msn.com. Until we meet again, may God bless you. And if you've thrown in that towel, child of God, go back and get it and start all over again. Go back and look again. God wants to do it. Give him a chance. Allow him. May God bless you. Bye-bye.